Those of us who have been parents, Margaret and I can just about remember what it was like at this stage. Young child, the busy road. What does the father or mother say? Hold my hand fast. Don't let go. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ said to this church in Thyatira. Those true saints, what you have, hold fast till I come. What about this place, Thyatira? Well, it held an important position connecting the Hermas and Caicus valleys. It was a frontier garrison that changed hands a number of times and finally passed to the hands of the Romans in 133 BC. It also held a key position in the Roman road system. It was about 40 miles approximately southeast of Pergamos. It was a city of many trades, a bustling, thriving city. Each trade having its guild, if you like, its union. And if you had your guild, then you had your guild god. And they used to have the guild god festivals, which were followed usually by highly immoral parties. What about the church at Thyatira? In the Thompson Chain Reference Bible I have at home, it's described as the church of the false prophetess. The church of the false prophetess. See, this church did not so much face opposition from without as pollution from within. And we find the message coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. And interestingly, in verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "These things saith the Son of God." Now, interestingly, this is the only time in these seven letters that that phrase is used. It's used, of course, frequently in the Gospels. But here in Revelation, here in the letters to the seven churches, this is the only time that it's used. And it's used to emphasize the majesty of his person. And see how he describes himself. He has eyes like a flame of fire, all piercing, all seeing. Do you remember what the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13? All things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All things. Our actions, yes, but also our thoughts, our motives, our intentions, our situations, all things. He's described as having feet like fine brass. He will certainly and swiftly pursue all evil. He will also put it down, which was something the church at Thyatira was to learn to its cost. Again, there are three parts to the message. Preacher's dream. There is commendation. There is condemnation. There is call. The commendation, as in each of the other letters, it starts with the first same four words. I know thy works. See, the Lord knew all about their service. He describes it In verse 19, I know your works, your charity or love, your service, your faith, your patience, and your works. Nothing is hidden. He knows our service for him. He knows that service that perhaps no one else knows about. Perhaps that phone call that we make to someone going through a rough time, the phone call of sympathy and understanding that means so much to that person, but nobody else knows about it. You're wrong. He does. Heed us. Or the service here in the Lord's house during the week. Perhaps the polishing, the dusting. Perhaps working in the garden. Something, we're doing it for the Lord. And there's nobody else around. You're wrong, he is. He knows. And he could say to these at Thyatira, the last were more than the first. They had made progress, which was something that the Lord had against the church at Ephesus, because the church at Ephesus had left their first love. So be encouraged in your service for him, my dear Christian friend. My dear brother and sister in Christ, press on, because he knows, he sees. But there is condemnation. Nevertheless, in spite of all that is good that I have seen, even if others have not, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. If we feel that someone else has something against us, it's not very pleasant, is it? It's far worse when he has a few things against us, my friends. You see, what this church at Thyatira didn't realise, perhaps, was growth in every other area of service and faith and love, good and vital as that is no substitute for growth in holiness. But what was the problem? Our Lord sums it up. Verse 20. Because, as it is in the authorized, thou sufferest, or you let. We could say that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach, to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. You allow. There seemed to have been in Thyatira no church discipline. No warning, this one. No, if necessary, putting out of fellowship as a warning. She was tolerated. And ironically, this was something that the church at Ephesus, that had left their first love, was commended for. She wouldn't have got away with it in Ephesus. But she did in Thyatira. Who was this Jezebel? Well, we're not sure. It could have been a woman of that name, or it could have been a woman whose lives paralleled the wicked consort of Ahab. We read all about in 1 Kings chapter 16 to 21. Reverend Charles Alexander of Liverpool, the man that my wife had the privilege of sitting, whose ministry my wife had the privilege of sitting under, in his book on Revelation says this. She stood for that deliberate idolatry which throws off all pretense to the winds and comes out into the open as the enemy of God. We told about her. She called herself a prophetess. This, of course, was in direct contradiction taught to the scriptures that forbid women to exercise authority over men or to teach men in the life of the church. You only have to turn to Paul's letter to Timothy to see the qualifications for an elder. He used to be the husband of one wife. She was self-appointed, but she wasn't even self-appointed to teach the word of God. She self-appointed herself to seduce the servants of God to commit idolatry, to commit fornication. Oh, my friends, how carefully this must be guarded. How carefully. How we need to have a Berean attitude. Just look at Acts chapter 17 for a moment, will you? Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Speaking of the Bereans, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Do you do that on a Sunday lunchtime, dear friend? Do you go home and search the scriptures that what you hear here is here? These Bereans checked the scriptures. They checked up on the Apostle Paul. Would you want to do that? They did. Whether these things were so. My friends, never, ever, ever, and I speak from bitter experience, never, ever, ever neglect your times with the Lord alone. They are precious. The Bereans search the scriptures. How well do you know this word? But it's not only on a Sunday. A week ago, I was at home cleaning, getting our house ready for going on the market, and there was a knock on the door, and there was two men, one younger, one older, and in the elder man's hands was the Watchtower magazine. Oh yes, they seemed plausible. But it was a privilege to stand on the doorstep and hold the word of God and reason out of the scriptures to them. How careful are we that we know our Bibles, that error sets the alarm bells ringing? Are we like the Bereans? See what the Lord says about this woman. What a merciful God we have. I gave her space to repent. Despite all the havoc she was causing in that church in Thyatira, the Lord Almighty, All Holy, says, I gave her space to repent. Haven't we been glad of that space to repent? That opportunity. The Lord has given us opportunity to repent. I've needed it this week, haven't you? Oh, do not despise these times, my friend. Someone has said, keep short accounts with God. Go to him. Seek his forgiveness while there is still time. But sadly, he says this. I gave it her space to repent of fornication, and she repented not. Oh, how hard is the heart that's in love with sin. How deadly. Please don't think I'm being flippant, but I couldn't help illustrating this. My friends, would you cuddle a cobra? Would you want to embrace a python? I don't know whether you read it in the papers. There was a man in Eastwood who kept king cobras, called them his pets. One day one of them bit him. And I'm told, and I've no desire to prove it, but the venom of a cobra is enough to kill an elephant. Bit him and he died. But so many people are in love with something far more deadly than any venomous serpent. What is it? Their sin. That's what this woman was. She was in love with her sin. She wouldn't let it go. Oh, my friends, why love that which, unless we repent of it, unless we had repented it, would have damned us to hell for all eternity? She repented not. And verses 22 and 23 make very grim reading. Behold, when we see that word behold, it doesn't just mean, oh, look at this. It means stop and look, take a good look at this, because this is important. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death. Never forget, we are dealing with the all-holy God. The God of love, yes. The God of mercy, yes. And we praise God for that. But never forget, my dear friends, at the same time, he is the all-holy God who can and must and will punish sin. And all the churches will know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts. We can fool others, even those closest to us, but not him. I've been married for 27 going on 28 years. My wife doesn't know every one of my thoughts. But he does. He does. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. He will do it. Oh yes, my friend, we trifle with him at our peril. But there is also, thirdly, a call to those who were not following this Jezebel, to the faithful, and there were some. It's those two words that we began. Hold fast. Ladies will forgive me using them as an illustration. Ladies, you hold your handbags fast. Why? Because it's precious. It's got that in which is precious. And we need to hold on to the Word of God, to the truth of Scripture, because it is precious. Verses 26, 27. Verse 26, "And he that overcometh, keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." We may feel our own weakness, and rightly so. The Apostle John, in 1 John, chapter 4 and verse 4, says this: "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." How on earth are you going to go out door to door? How on earth are we going to go out on Tuesday into the open air? How on earth are we going to live for him? How on earth are we going to answer those who stand on our doorstep with false doctrine? How on earth are we going to live for him with all the pressures that are upon us to follow our own wicked ways? I'll tell you how. By his power in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is in you? Why, it is God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that the Lord promised. Who is he that is in the world? It is Satan. Satan is mighty. Oh yes, make no mistake. But he's not almighty. He that is in you, if you're a believer, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is far greater than he that is in the world. He that overcomes, how do we overcome? By his power in us. And keeps my works to the end. To him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. The end of verse 26 and verse 27, the direct quotation from Psalm 2 and verse 9. What could compare than reigning with him one day? I will give him the morning star. Who is the morning star? It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Finally, there are five very brief lessons. We'll mention each one. Firstly, nothing is hidden from him. No thought, no word, no act, no motive, no intention, no desire. Nothing. The Lord Jesus told us, Matthew, that even our words, every idle word that men shall say, they shall give account for. Secondly, only those who are called and equipped by God are to preach, and they're to preach the Word of God. Thirdly, space for repentance is for today, for this life only. Do not let it go. One day it will be too late. Do you remember way back when God had told Noah to build the ark? One day God said, "Noah, get into the ark with your wife, your sons, their families, the animals." And it's recorded in Genesis chapter 7. the Lord shut him in. God shut the door of the ark. Do you not imagine, my friends, that as that door was shut, as the depths were opened, as the rain started to fall, that there were not people hammering on that door to be let in, but the opportunity was gone. It will be so one day. The Lord calls us into eternity, or the Lord returns. The day of opportunity will be gone. The space for repentance will be gone. Oh, my friends, let us not despise it. Fourthly, hold fast to the word of God. Immerse yourself in it. As someone has put it, be thoroughly enscripturated. Guard your quiet time. Guard it. Because I know in my life the times the devil has had greatest success is when I've let the quiet time slip. Oh, guard your quiet time. Make the most of the means of grace. Make sure that if at all possible you're found at the Bible study, meeting together for prayer, building yourself up on the Word of God. Lastly, our reward. We get glimpses of it. But as someone has said, our reward is literally out of this world. It's more certain, more sure than this world. One day, Scripture tells us, this world is going to be built, burnt up. It's going to be no more. But our reward will last forever. Do you know the best part? We shall be with him forever. We shall see him. We couldn't bear the sight now, but one day we shall be with him. Let the last word be with the Apostle Paul, Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. We're on a journey, a day's march nearer home. Are you looking forward to going home? I am. Home is where we look forward to going to. We've been out shopping or somewhere, and just to get home. Can you say, I'm looking forward to going home? Eternal home, everlasting home. You know, one word that will never be heard in heaven? It's the word goodbye. Because when we're there, we'll be there forever. So this morning, my dear Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, we all feel our weakness, but hold fast till he comes. He may look us in the eye, whatever the world thinks about us, whatever response you get on the doors, however many times you get them slammed in your face, however many times you may be scorned. Listen. On that day, it will not matter a jot when the Lord of glory looks you straight in the eye and says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, because you have held fast till he came. Amen. Our closing hymn is a call to action. 3, 6, 2, forward be our watchword, steps and voices joined, seek the things before us, not a look behind. Burns the fiery pillar at our army's head, who shall dream of shrinking by our captain led? 3, 6, 2.